Residents need a say in James Bay future. As a senior, I used to be able to walk up to James Bay Square and pick up my coffee and freshly baked treat from the local tea shop. I would then walk a few meters to Irving Park, sit on a bench under a shady tree, and watch families enjoying the neighborhood playground structure provided in our local community. Makes perfect sense to me. Now, I do not feel safe to continue with this activity as there are an increasing number of homeless in their tents, with the largest one under the tree by the play structure. I walk by on the other side of the street as there have been frightening incidents. Recently, a resident was randomly stabbed and very often agitated tenters screaming foul language. This behavior carries over to the James Bay Square with loitering and garbage strewn about. This summer, Victoria Council added select parks to the parks regulation bylaw prohibiting sheltering. It was immediately clear that Irving Park was high on the list. Victoria Police Department data over a three-year period reported that Irving had four times the number of police calls as compared to Stadacona Park, which was approved for no sheltering. Irving Park did not receive this exemption. Council is considering changing James Bay Square into a no-car zone resident gathering center. Is it not more reasonable to dismantle the Irving Park encampment and enhance this park as was the case with the encampment east of the provincial courthouse? Personally, I would appreciate this beautiful open, well-treed, green, community park for residents to once more enjoy instead of a closed, congested, full-sun, cement alternative. It is my hope that there will be ample opportunities for constituents to have major, meaningful input with recommended actions included into any future projects slated for James Bay. Elizabeth Kozik. James Bay. James Bay doesn't need a village square. As a James Bay resident for 11 years, I suspect that the Five Corners pedestrian square idea comes from a councillor who doesn't live here, and invented a solution to a non-existent problem. I walk through Five Corners daily on my commute. It's very well used by walkers and shoppers already, with public benches and even a tabletop chessboard. Closing it to vehicles would also mean that four bus routes, 2, 3, 5 and 10, would have to be rerouted. Those buses are very heavily used by James Bay residents, many of whom don't drive. I respectfully disagree with the writer who thinks that the Thrifty Foods parking lot should be turned into a pedestrian square. I strongly doubt that the supermarket chain would allow this. The lot can barely accommodate its shoppers now. The writer also proposes closing Toronto Street to traffic, which is absurd. Closing just one block would cause five houses, three large apartment buildings and several businesses to lose their parking. All that Five Corners needs to make it even more of a gathering space would be a few more public benches. Otherwise, don't fix what isn't broken. PJ Perdue. James Bay. Public sentiment is key to changes. As a pedestrian mall supporter of many years on Government Street, I have come to know much of what is involved in assessment of such initiatives. My sense, the James Bay Square, Simcoe Street idea, as presented, would be a struggle. As for more consistency of community and pedestrian fun around the mall in James Bay, that is a whole other story. I closed Government Street to through traffic 48 times over 7 years for events and efforts of persuading council of its community pedestrian viability. Best path to advance community initiatives is having general public sentiment behind you and initiatives that offer incremental evaluations on what works and what doesn't. John Vickers. Miramichi, New Brunswick. Not every homeowner can afford more taxes. Rising property values don't help us pay taxes. Letter, February 1st. We cannot assume that every homeowner has the ability to pay more taxes on demand. Unlike labor or dividend income, housing is non-liquid. With rising costs including taxation and increased interest rates, a growing number of lower or fixed-income homeowners and small landlords may be forced to sell their properties. This could be a senior neighbor on a fixed income or a family facing increasing mortgage and insurance payments. Deferring property tax is an option, but there are risks with a government deferral loan. Deferments can add up quickly and depend upon the home being worth more in the future. And someone will always pay the tax and interest, whether it is the owner or their beneficiaries and families. Victoria Cowan. Dave Thompson says that 30 years of underinvestment resulted in infrastructure deficits. Were legacy and vanity projects deemed more important than basic services? Did strategic and financial management depend on ever-increasing future taxation? This leads to the concern of compounding tax increases. If increased 8% a year, paying $4,000 in year one is about $5,000 in year three, a 20% increase. Have we forgotten that a local government exists to provide the services and infrastructure under its authority that taxpayers are willing and able to pay for? Grace Van Den Brink. Victoria. Offering more drugs is not the answer. Re. Add heroin, fentanyl to safer supply, Henry says, February 1. Seriously? How can adding more powerful drugs create safer supply in BC? Instead of adding drugs, our government should be learning from the Oregon experience and following their example. They realize that the drug policies they have implemented in the past are not working and are changing the laws. Our government, with head firmly buried in sand, has chosen to believe that including more drugs is the answer to the rapidly growing number of overdose deaths. How can this decision help lower the death toll? Yvonne Andre. Campbell River. After all these years, another child has died. Re. The top priority must be the safety of the children, editorial, February 2. I am crying as I read this editorial. Why are children still dying in horrific ways? I remember 1995, when Judge Thomas Gove led a provincial inquiry into the death of Matthew Vaudreuil, who died when he was 6 years old following years of neglect by his mother, despite being under the watch of dozens of social workers. Gove's inquiry found that about half of the Ministry of Children and Family Development's child protection workers didn't have appropriate academic requirements to do the job, and only about 20% were subject to professional regulations. Gove's work led to the creation of a new ministry in BC. For children and the independent agency to investigate child deaths. I am not saying child protection workers still don't have the proper training. But why am I crying as I look at a photo of a dear sweet boy, Dante Patrick Lucas? Joy Adams Bauer. Nanaimo. Government policies encourage new users. Re. Add heroin, fentanyl to safer supply, Henry says, February 2. It is extremely ironic that doctors are reluctant to prescribe pain medication stronger than a Tylenol 3 to a patient who is in debilitating pain, for fear they'll become an addict, but they have no issue with prescribing hard street drugs to an addict to keep them addicted. I find it highly regrettable that our government is doing everything they can to help keep those suffering from an opioid use disorder mired in the self-harm cycle. And it seems to be encouraging new users with policies regarding this issue. Marianne Conley. Sonitan. One dear plan failed, but another plan worked. I am a former planning director for Sonich and subsequently a co-owner and developer of James Island, before it sailed to the current owner. The federal government recently attempted to deal with the problem of fallow deer on Sydney Island. The problem was real, i.e., not enough food to support the deer population. The solution was to shoot the deer from helicopters. The result was a total fiasco, even for the feds. I'm surprised the farm animals and pets survived. We had a similar problem on James Island years earlier, and what did we do? We developed a plan with our environmental consultants. What was this magic plan, you ask? We determined a population that Sydney Island could support, then rounded up the surplus and shipped them to a fallow deer ranch in Alberta. Sydney Island, your tax dollars at work, problem not solved, optics terrible. James Island, much lower cost, not taxpayer funded, problem solved. Thomas Orr Loney. Victoria. Send U.S. your letters. Email letters to letters@timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tai Road. Victoria, BCV9A6X5. Submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.